All right, brethren, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 35. Prophecy is misunderstood and misused unless it's recognized that the history of Israel are types and shadows, wherein all the interventions of God foretell the great intervention of God in Christ, in the person of Jesus Christ. We've missed the point if we miss Christ. We looked this morning in this chapter. We noted how that when Israel and Judah sinned against the Lord, by God's direct hand, they fell into Babylonian captivity. They couldn't free themselves. They couldn't bring themselves out of captivity. And that's what happened in the garden. When Adam sinned, we went into captivity with no way of freeing ourselves from that bondage. But when Israel was in captivity, God had a people there. Isaiah began the letter by saying, except God had preserved a remnant among us, we'd be like Sodom and Gomorrah. But because he did have a remnant among them, he didn't rain down fire and brimstone like he did in Sodom and Gomorrah. He raised up a king and he brought them out of bondage. And he said, as he promised, there would be a highway. And they returned with rejoicing to Zion. That's what is spoken of directly in our text, but it points to Christ. Let's read our text here, Isaiah 35:8. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Christ is that highway. He is that highway, high and lifted up, visible so that all can see. He was high and lifted up in his conception. He's holy. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. He was raised up like a mighty highway is raised up above from the valleys and the plains, and in the gospel that John preached, and in the gospel we preach. He said, behold, he was sent to declare, behold your God. He's the highway. All flesh is grass, and he came, and in the body of his flesh, he did for his people what his people couldn't do for themselves. And in that flesh, John was told to say, behold your God. He said, behold the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. Christ was lifted up in the gospel. He was lifted up when the Father spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Oh, why aren't we concerned with hearing him? Why aren't we concerned with seeing him? Why aren't we concerned this day with pointing sinners to him? Why are we so concerned with pointing sinners to themselves? He was high and lifted up on the cross. He said, and if I be lifted up, I'll draw all unto me. He said, I must be lifted up. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. There's no life but in Christ. And there in that cross where he's lifted up, we behold the glory of God. We behold God being merciful and gracious. At the cross, on the cross, in Christ, is where you behold God being long-suffering. He didn't destroy the world because what Christ entered into suretyship to do from before the world began. And he hasn't destroyed it yet because of what Christ has accomplished on the cross in fulfilling that work. And he won't destroy it until the very last one is brought into this high way. He won't. That's the long-suffering of God. The heavens are held in store right now, all things, by the word of His power. And that's the word of His everlasting covenant between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's held in store by covenant word. Long-suffering. You see Him there being abundant in goodness and truth. Truth. You see mercy for thousands. Thousands. You see for Him forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin right there in the cross. And you see Him by no means clearing the guilty. No means clearing the guilty. God won't clear the guilty. God will not sweep sin under the rug. He's holy, and your sin's got to be dealt with. You got to die, and I've got to die. And either we're going to have died in Adam and leave this world in Adam and suffer eternal condemnation under the wrath of God ourselves, and we'll never satisfy that wrath. We will suffer it forever and ever and ever. Or we've died in Christ, and He bore that wrath, that punishment that was due to us on our behalf, and God's holy and just to forgive us. That's where we see it. When He was raised up on high, when God the Father raised Him from the dead, which of the angels did He say to, "Sit here at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool"? God is satisfied. The Father is satisfied with His Son. And He's only satisfied with those who are satisfied with His Son. Those who are called by the Spirit of God, lame and made to walk, blind and made to see, those whose very bodies are just a dry, barren, desert land in whom He creates a water of life springing up. Everything we just sang in that song came right out of this chapter. You know that? That's right. Everyone that's been called by Him has been made to behold this highway, and they've been called into this highway. And they've been made to see that God the Father made them the way of holiness when He put them in Christ before the world began. Christ made them the way of holiness when He purged them of all iniquity and in the body of His flesh perfected them forever. And they were washed to be brought into this union with God to behold, this is how it is. He is all righteousness and all sanctification. He's all my redemption. He bought me and delivered me from captivity. And now His saints are in the way. They're in this highway and they're headed to heaven Zion. They are Zion. They are Zion. And they've come to Mount Zion, heavenly Zion, into the presence of holy God, having boldness to enter by that new and living way which He's consecrated for us, that is His flesh. Not our flesh, His flesh. And we can enter because we've been washed with pure water. And we can enter. We've had our conscience purged and we can enter. Right now, nothing else to be done. We can enter. We can enter. And if you step to the left or to the right out of this way, you've gone back and conformed to the world. You're trying to. And I'm talking about right, trying to earn some kind of perfection in the flesh by works of this flesh is awful, awful, awful sin against God. That's getting completely out of Christ the way. Completely out of Him. So we're traveling this way. Is there anybody here today that's seen this glory? Have you seen this highway? You know what happens when we see this highway? He said, "The lofty looks of men shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day." It's easy to tell if a man's seen this highway, and if he's declaring this highway, and those that are following are on this highway, listen to who they exalt. Just listen. You know, it doesn't take long to hear it. It doesn't take long to hear it. "At that day shall a man look to his Maker." That's where we look. "His eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel, thy Redeemer, the Holy One." That's who we see. And we enter this way. And we're on this way. And right now we've got boldness and access through him. And we're on the way. We're on our way. And that's where this way will end with him. But don't you feel now, believer, let me ask you this, you brethren sitting here, do you feel like you often would turn out of this way? Do you feel like that you are prone to turn from this way? Fearful that you'd come out of this way, err in this way? Well, this is what I want you to see. This is our first point. Christ is the way made plain by Christ Himself. Look at the second half of verse 8. But it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. Christ is the way made plain by Christ Himself. The travelers in this highway, they don't have any strength in themselves. All we contributed to this whole equation was being carried away captive into Babylon because of our rebellion against our God who is the way. That's what we have to add to this. That's all we can boast in this. We've been called out. We've been sought out. We're a city not forsaken. We've been made the holy people by God who's holy. And so we're travelers and we're sojourners in a world and we got no power in ourselves to keep ourselves in the way. We can't glory in keeping ourselves in the way. We're so prone to vanity, so wholly set on vanity that it doesn't take but just a little something that make our eyes light up and we're headed right out of the way. But for God keeping us. But the word here is, He Himself is by them in the way. That's what the translation is. He Himself is in the way with them, traveling in the way with them. Every believer has the privilege, the glorious good news of knowing Christ is in the way. He is the way. We saw that in our first hour. He is the way. And the way of holiness are called into it, into Him the way. But He's in the way with us. He walks the way with us, and He keeps us in this way. That's, if He didn't, we'd perish. Look over to Exodus 33. Exodus chapter 33. He said, I'm going to make a way for you in that day. He was talking to them about bringing them out of Babylon. And he said, there's going to be a highway like it was when I brought you out of Egypt. Everything in the history of Israel is showing us what God did in Christ. And look what, when He brought them out of Egypt, and they walked through the wilderness, and they were preparing to go forward. Look at what Moses said, Exodus 33, verse 14. He said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. That's what the Lord said to Moses. And Moses said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, with us, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. My presence will go with you. And He led them by a pillar of fire by night, and by a cloud by day. And the glory upon them was the very defense of them. You see, a Pharisee is a name which properly means the separate ones. But a Pharisee separates himself. Just ask Him, what's your hope? Well, I gave my heart to Jesus. I did Jesus a favor. I separated myself by what I did. I separated myself by something that I did for my little impotent, helpless Jesus. Because He's just like me. He's helpless and He's impotent to do anything unless I let Him. That's not the Jesus of this Bible. The Jesus of this Bible is God. Behold your God. Behold your God. Where were you when He created the heavens and the earth? Where were you when He spoke heaven and earth into existence? Where were you when He said, Let there be light, and there was light? Where were you when He said, Let there be a firmament, and the expanse of everything was held up by His power? Where will you be if He says, Let there not be a firmament? You know, the only thing holding our little nasty rear to this ground is God's power of His firmament. He says, Let it go, When he says, when he who is the lawgiver says, let gravity cease, you'll be cast out in the outer darkness. So where were we and who are we? But this Jesus separates his people. This God, this Savior comes in power and he separates his people himself, and he goes in the way with them and keeps them separate, keeps them in himself. We see the grace and the kindness of our Savior when we consider how he walked through this earth and what he did in this earth. Look over at Matthew chapter 15. Remember the multitude? This was a multitude who didn't even believe on him, brethren. Now, if he did this for a multitude that didn't believe on him, think of what he does for those that he came and paid their debt. He said that Jesus called his disciples unto him, and he said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. And you know what he did? He fed them. He prepared a table for them right there in their presence without any help from anybody. And they ate and there was plenty left over. You know what he's doing for his people right now in the way? He's going to provide a table for his people in the wilderness. He's going to do it in such a way that we recognize he did this. That's right. What else did he do? Look at Mark 10. Mark 10. Mark 10, verse 32. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem. That's where we're going. We're in the way right now. In Christ the way. And called there by His grace. Separated by His power. And we're going there. We're headed to, we're marching to Zion. We're headed to Jerusalem. Not an earthly place, to heaven's glory. That's where we're headed. And as they were going that way, look at what happened. Jesus went before them. They were just following Him. That's what we're doing. And they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And He took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto Him. Does He still do that? Does He still teach His people? Does He still instruct us in the way and calm our fears and calm our fearful hearts? Do you hear Him speaking? This is His Word. This is He speaking. Do you hear Him speaking? This is what He does. He goes in the way, and though we're foolish and prone to err, we won't err in this way. We won't leave it. We won't forsake it. He's going to keep us. You remember blind Bartimaeus? Look at Mark 10, 52. There, we're right there. Mark 10, 52. Let me tell you this. They were going along, this whole multitude following him, and blind Bartimaeus heard it. He just heard them going in the way. If you're sitting here today and blind, need to see Christ, you want to see Christ, do you hear? We're all going in the way right now. We're all going past you in the way right now. Do you hear us? Walking past you, following Him in the way as we head to Jerusalem. Blind Bartimaeus heard and he said, who is this? And they said, it's Jesus of Nazareth. And he began to call on Him and they tried to stop Him. They tried to hush Him and he said, he cried louder and he cried louder. And Christ stopped. He stopped for this cry of this man. He'll stop for the cry of His people in the way. And he stopped for the cry of this man. Verse 51, he said, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. And did he take off another way? And followed Jesus in the way. He got right behind him with the rest of them and took off to Zion. Took off to Jerusalem. Oh, that's what he's doing. He's calling others to join it. Does he still do this? Well, he went to the cross and he laid down his life on Calvary and he went into a grave. Does he still do this? Look at Luke 24. Luke 24. He came out of that grave. He came out of that grave, and there was some walking along. And they were so doubting and so fearful. And he said this, verse 19, Luke 24:19. He said unto them, "What things are you men talking about?" And they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished when they were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they didn't see. And then he said unto them," this is him sitting there, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" You see, no fools, no doubting, those astonished and amazed are so prone to falter. He comes to us in the way. And he says, and he comforts us. And it says, verse 27, "Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures and things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it's toward the evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them." And look down at verse 32. "And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way?" While he walked in the way with us and talked with us, while he opened to us the scriptures. "And they rose up the same hour and went to Jerusalem and began to tell others," guess what? "He's alive. He is alive." He's still doing this today. He's still doing this today. Do you remember what we saw back in Isaiah 30? Look back there. Isaiah 30. Verse 19. This is for his name's sake. You see, if one falters, if one turns out of the way for whom he died, his Father's name is at stake. His Father's name is at stake. This is why he'll do it. Verse 19, "For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine eyes shall hear a word behind thee saying, This is the way, walk ye in it when you turn to the right hand or when you turn to the left." Do you believe God? Then believe Him. Let's just believe Him. This is what He's saying. Let's just believe Him. You know, we'd be embarrassed and wouldn't honestly come forth with a lot of our sin to others. We wouldn't say it. We just wouldn't go around just telling others, just blatantly telling others our sin. Be embarrassed to do it. Why then will we just bend another's ear with all our murmuring and complaining and worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow? And I'm talking to me. You can ask Melinda. I'm talking to me. Why? Why? That's worse sin than ever. We don't seem to mind everybody knowing that. Just murmuring. This is what he says he'll do. I'll go with you in the way. And though you're weak and helpless and powerless, I'll not let you turn out of the way. I'll not let you go. I'll keep you in this way. We believe God, let's believe Him. Let's just believe Him. Believe Him. "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table in the wilderness and right in front of all my enemies." This is what He says. Well, here's the second thing we see. He's the safe way. Look at verse 4. He said, "Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong and fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He'll come and save you." But do you find yourself fearful? Do you find yourself fearful of inward enemies? Fearful of snares of Satan? Fearful of those who would accuse you? Fearful of temptations in this world? Do you find yourself saying, "Sometimes I can't help but be fearful. I can't help but be fearful." But the Lord says still, "Fear not. Fear not." Why? Here's why. Verse 9. "No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed of the Lord shall walk there." The devil described as a roaring lion, going about seeking whom he may devour. He's the accuser of the brethren. Men, religious men, are described as ravenous beasts. Paul said in Galatians, "Be careful that you not bite and devour one another." He's describing that beastly characteristic of religion. Always wanting to bite somebody back into obedience. Snap them back into obedience through the jaws of like an old wolf. You know, religion at its height, at its zenith in the world for all to see, did that to the Lord. Did that to the Lord. Turn with me over to Psalm 22, verse 13. They disciplined this one for coming and speaking like he did, for communing with sinners. And this is why no ravenous beast is going to hurt in all this mountain, brethren. Verse 13. "They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They've pierced my hands and my feet." Now, mind you, these are those who the Lord said, "Except your righteousness exceed their righteousness, you can't enter into the kingdom of God." These are those that were so concerned about the holiness and concerned that men would follow after holiness that as soon as they got through doing this to him, they got him down off the cross so they could observe a holy day and not pollute the Sabbath. This is their discipline. This is what men do to you and to me, brethren, when they try to discipline people by their power and by their yoke. Just what they did to Christ right here in the heart. It's death. It's death. Why won't they be allowed to do it to the Lord's people? Because what Christ did and what our gospel is, they can't stand to come to this mountain. They can't stand to join with his people. How can two walk together unless they be in agreement? And they won't stay in the mountain. Why? Because we don't declare man, we declare Christ. And man hates that. The ravening beast, the dog, the circumcision that would cut and devour you by their teeth. Hate that message. But here's why they won't come up. "I tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them. They cast lots among my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns." And here's this glorious song that he puts in the lips of his people. "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he's the governor among the nations. God satisfied God, and he heard his cry. And he declared his glory, and he declared his justice. And he, this holy, harmless, undefiled one, has made his people holy, harmless, and undefiled. And he declares, he goes from sorrow to singing, and he declares, this is the song that I'm going to declare in the hearts of my people and put on their lips and give them hearts to rejoice in, is that I'm the governor and the king. I know the feeling of their infirmities. I know what it's like when the ravenous beast comes upon them. I know what it's like when they're compassed about with strong bulls of Bashan. And I will succor them in the day of their, in the day of my power. You know, when the Lord came to, was it Ananias he came to, and he told him to go to Saul of Tarsus, you know? He said, we've heard of him. And we're afraid to go to him. But when he went to him, you know what he found there? He found a lion turned into a lamb. That's what he found there. A lion turned into a lamb. That's what he does. He tames his people by the power of his grace. And he gives us this heart. And he keeps us in this way so that we can't be turned back by the railings and the carrying on of men that would turn us to the flesh and turn us away. Paul was fearful of this then to the Corinthian brethren. He was fearful that, he said, I'm so fearful that you're going to be beguiled, that you're going to be tricked from looking to Christ only. Like as Eve was beguiled in the garden from trusting God just by questioning. Oh, listen to this, brethren. These beasts may disturb us by divine permission. Satan and the world and these temptations and these trials, they may disturb us by God's permission for a little while. But they disturb us for this one reason. To teach us to resist steadfast in the faith. Well, Clay, tell me what that means. Resist steadfast in the faith. What does that mean? You ever see a little child that wanders out under the porch light, out of the back door, from the father? If the father flips that light off, you ever see them just run back as fast as they can and hug up to their daddy? That's resisting steadfast in the faith. Running as fast as you can to Christ and just jumping into his arms and holding on to him. I used to go to customers' houses and in a job I had, and I would sometimes pull up and they'd have big mean dogs. I mean big bulldogs or whatever, you know, Rottweilers. And then some of them, they'd have signs, beware a dog, beware a dog, beware a dog. And it would, you'd try to get out and they would, it wasn't a joke. The dogs would, they would get you. But the owner would come out of there, and the owner would say to you, stand right here close next to me, and we'll walk to the door, and he won't touch you. And you walk right beside that owner and follow right along with him, and that dog might sniff of you a little bit, but he wouldn't touch you. Just walk right along beside you. God, the devil is God's devil. And he says, you walk by me. You stay close to me, and he won't hurt you. He won't hurt you, and we'll go through the way. We'll come, I'll bring you home with me. Christ is the happy way. He's the happy way. This is why we're so happy. This is because, look, verse 10. The ransomed of the Lord shall return, and they'll come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. In the Psalms, we find the Song of Degrees. And these were the songs that they would sing as they were going up to Zion. as they were going up to earthly Zion to the festivals to worship the Lord. As they were headed to that place where God's presence was, they would sing these songs along the way. Listen to these. I'm going to read you a few of these. First Song of Degrees, Psalm 120, verse 1. I love this. Listen, here's the first one. In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me. How about, let's sing that next time we're fearful and when we're on our way right now, and we're going to where God's presence is, and we have God walking with us, and He says He won't let us turn out of the way, and He says, now here's a song for you to sing. In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me. Look at Psalm 121, verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He'll not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. That's a good song to sing. Look at the third one, Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. I like this one, Psalm 125. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth even forever. You see, He's given us beauty for ashes. They used to put ashes on the head. He said here, you're going to come with joy, songs, and everlasting joy upon your head. He's given us beauty for ashes. He's given us the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And we're headed there to Zion. Let's march along and let's sing. We got a lot to sing about, don't we? Brother Scott Richardson used to say, there hadn't been any bad news since I heard the good news. What do we have? We got, I'm learning, somebody asked me, how are things going? I'm learning to say, got way more to rejoice in than I do to complain about. Way more. Oh, a merry heart will carry us along a long way. But you know, a heart that's burdened with sorrow and just, it'll weigh us down. We repeat it so much, we believe it, you know, and it'll weigh us down. It'll weigh us down. Well, here's the fourth thing, and I'll be brief. Christ is the sure way that leads to a sure end. It's a terrible thing to be on a road and not know where the road's going. You know? Just to be lost and you don't have any idea where that road's going to stop, where it's going to end up. Well, this one, we know where it's going. Look here now. Verse 10. I want you to do something with me first. Look here, verse 8. Let's go back up here. Verse 5. The eyes of the blind shall be opened. There's one. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. There's two. Then shall the lame walk and leap as a hart. There's three. The tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. There's four. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. There's five. In the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass, which we won't even count that one. That was added by the translator. We won't count that one. And highways shall be there. There's six. And a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. I've lost count. Six or seven. The unclean shall not pass over it. There's another one. But it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. There's another one. No lion shall be there. There's another shall. Nor any ravenous beast shall go up therein, thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. Now here's the last one. This is where it's coming to. You see all those shalls? When God who created the heaven and earth says He shall, that means He shall. And you will. Me and you will. We'll enjoy. We'll just enjoy what He shall do. And here's the last one. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. We don't have a continuing city right here. He gives us little tastes of this ever so often. You know, Paul said, I've been in the deep a day and a night. You know, the Hebrews, the Jews, they counted a day as being the evening to the next evening. It was an evening and a day. We count it from the morning to the evening as being one day. They counted the evening to the morning. And God gave it to them that way. In the first chapter of Genesis, we see, and the evening and the morning were the first day. There's a good picture there, isn't it? With God, when darkness comes, light's going to follow. With us, we like to start out in the light, and we always end up in the dark. But this is another good thing. When darkness comes, you know what we do at the end, what we call the end of the day? You know what we do when darkness comes? We rest. And you know what we usually do when we're in the face of the deep? We rest. That's when we actually trust Him. Because He sweetly forced us to have nothing else but to trust Him. And you know what follows? Light. After that you suffered a while, God of all comfort will establish, settle you, comfort you. And brethren, we don't have a permanent city here, but we're coming to one. He's given us a little foretaste of it, a little foretaste of it, a little foretaste of it. But we're coming to a city whose builder and maker is God that'll never end. And then, it'll be always day. Always day. And He's gone there, and that's the assurance we'll go there. Have you seen Him? Have you seen this way? Have you seen the highway? I've got one more little story for you. I was walking through the woods at a friend's house one day. Out by what's called the Natchez Trace. It runs up through the south, you know, and it ran right close to my friend's house. I didn't know it ran there by his house. And I was out walking through the woods one day, just these little dim trails and things, and you know, and all of a sudden I came out of that forest and opened my eyes and looked through there, and there was this giant, giant highway. And I walked out there onto the highway, and right where I walked out onto the highway, if you remind me, I'll try to show you some pictures of it sometime. It crossed over Highway 96 right there. And it's so high, people used to bungee jump off of it. It's high. It is high. But on that highway, it's just a straight clip right across it because you're on the highway. When Christ brings you to Himself, you'll behold the highway. And those that are low will be brought up, and those that are high will be brought down, and that which is crooked will be made straight, and you will be on the way. Have you seen that highway? Have you seen Him? Join in with His people. Commit to His work. Confess Him in baptism. And commit to the furtherance of His holy name in this place. So that like that blind man along the way, you'll be called out into the so others be called out into the way. And brethren, you and I who are in the way, walking in this way, oh, let's lift up the hands that hang down and make straight paths for our feet. Be strong and fear not. This is our God. And this is what He said to us. After everything He's done for us, you think He's going to let us go now? No. 1,000 times no. They shall obtain joy and gladness and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Amen.